And so,
shows you how old we are.
Well, yeah, you were. You know, I always say I was a mere child when I did that, but they actually were mere children when they did this film. And so, they'll tell you a little bit about working on it. I wanted to give you a little introduction for each of these gentlemen. I'm Peter Bain here. Got started on this film when you were four years old, and came from a Hollywood family. Your father, Harry Bain, was a screenwriter and a children's book author and an artist and everything working in Hollywood. Worked on some very high-profile films in the late 20s and early 30s. The Big Parade, which was one of the last silent films.
I think it was one of the last really great silent films. Yeah. With King Vidor was the director.
Yeah. And Hell's Angels,
which was one of the first talkies.
Yeah.
Not the first, but close.
One of them, the Howard Hughes film. And so you came from a Hollywood background with your father. And Donnie, you came from a non-Hollywood background, but broke into Hollywood as a child actor also around the time, 38, 39?
38.
And I found it very interesting that one of the first films that Donnie here worked on was Mother Carey's Chickens. I don't know if you've heard of that. It was a book. And it was later made by Walt Disney into a movie called Summer Magic. So there's a little bit of a Disney connection there. But then you went on to do Son of Frankenstein, right, with Boris Karloff?
Tower of London,
and a few others.
Several others.
And then came to the attention of Walt. So they both were instrumental in this movie in the early 40s, late 30s, early 40s, when they were working on producing the film. And then went in wildly different directions afterwards into real estate and housing development and things like that on your end, and into the military, into the Marine Corps after that. So I just wanted to kind of throw it open to questions from you guys. You can ask any questions about working on the film or about their careers, and I'm sure they'll be happy to answer and tell you some really great stories. So I'll throw it open to questions.
We had a brief history lesson next door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they mentioned that this is the last movie prior to the war.
Mm-hmm.
And how Disney didn't make their money on the first release. Wanted to know if y'all knew that it was going to be so iconic and such a reference, despite all that turmoil that happened from the point where it was released up until now. So,
what a question. I've been in about 200 interviews. Nobody's asked that question. That's really a sharp one, because it's super relevant. Whereas you all are so young. I love you. I wish I was your age. We're 82, working on 83. Quick, right? Put your mind back into 31, 32, 33, to depression. You hear that word, and you probably studied it in college somewhere. And the country was hammered. I mean, hammered economically during the depression. So, Mr. Disney worked on this film for 8 or 9 very serious, heavy years. Okay, he insisted on the foreground images, okay, our movements, to be in oil. Like Rembrandt, okay? Not watercolor, okay? And that slowed everything down. But look what happened as a result, huh? Look at it today. You think Rembrandt did it, right? Huh? We think he wanted that. That's fact. This is hearsay. We think he wanted to release it before Christmas. His brother Roy is documented really well, wanting to release it in 1934, get this thing in production, boom, get it out for economic purposes, because it costs a ton of money to make. Bam. Okay. So now it's 1941. Okay. Nobody anticipated Pearl Harbor, we don't think, right? December 7th. We think Mr. Disney wanted to release it in December. That was preempted by Pearl Harbor. Okay. And then it's released about now, okay, in 1942. I remember this well, because I have been in 6 or 7 films already as a child actor, that crazy kid with all the curly hair stuff, remember? So I wasn't jaded, but I was older than 6 up here. And I'm aware of things. People were walking around like zombies after Pearl Harbor. For the first week and a half, 2 weeks, I mean, like, what's happened? We are very aware of World War II. In Europe, we had not been in the war directly, okay? And now we're in it, and life's changed radically. Radically. And Mr. Disney could not have released that at a better time to lift us up something. Lift us up. Huh? The newsreels were all grim, 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 grim. Huh? And here comes Bambi. But it was also at a very tough time because a lot of men had to hunt deer all over the country. We were not like we are now. Huh? Walmart. Huh? We're going to get some venison and go to Walmart, right? Huh? You're smiling. They're hunting for deer. So he had some risk in that, huh? Releasing it, because men heard from their families, oh my gosh, don't go shoot Bambi, right? And Peter has got a great handle on the environmental impact of Bambi, because it probably was, I'm a student of this stuff, probably was the first major film to have an environmental suggestion, but Peter's got a real good handle on that.
Well, I'm continue to admire the foresight that Walt had to create a movie that recognized the importance of the environment. And I think it's the most important statement that the movie makes, and it becomes more relevant every day as we know what's going on in the planet. That's really my take on it. I mean, man was represented as the problem, the evil, in terms of what's happening to the environment. And if you look at the movie that way, I think you'll recognize, or maybe you already have, how important that message is.
And that was a message that Walt gave throughout his lifetime. He was the president of the National Wildlife Federation, mm-hmm. did PSAs for National Wildlife Week and things like that. So he was always supportive of environmental issues. And I think it started with Bambi in the 30s and 40s and continued throughout his life.
Very much ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm. And the True Life Adventures and things like that.
I was just going to say, on that same note, did you know that this Paul McCartney has said that this is the film, seeing Bambi's mother get killed is the reason he became a vegetarian?
I've heard that.
Is that right?
So yeah. Paul McCartney. Yeah.
Well, I can't say the same thing personally, but maybe it should.
Any other questions?
I want to know where I can get that belt buckle.
That's so vintage.
That'll match her sweater.
There you go.
So was it difficult to continue in the company after you guys were in the company, because neither you stayed working as an artist or as a producer or in the company, because you devoted yourself to developing?
I think Bambi was the only film that either of you worked on, and then after that you went different ways completely and then came back later to publicize the film in the 90s.
Why,
I think.
Why was that?
Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor? Was there a reason?
No, I'm serious. Pearl Harbor preempted everything. Yeah. Probably preempted the release of Bambi by several months, okay? It preempted a lot of lives. It turned my family upside down twice. And shortly after that, I'm in Ireland, in Donegal County. Had nothing to do with Donegal. Donegal County, Ireland, okay, with a grandfather that still boxed bare knuckle in the pubs at age 50 for a living. So if I'm a little warped, it's because I had this wonderful grandfather. It changed everything. It changed everything, as I'm sure you have studied well. But in respect to our time, let me share something with you that is powerfully, powerfully important. Some of the questions we get all over, in any state we're at, is Bambi today, Bambi today? Well, the 75th anniversary, huh? You're not on the golf course, you're here, right? Mm-hmm. Huh? Because of what? Because of Bambi, right? I promise you, new friends in the eyes, that Bambi has more influence today than probably did 42, 43, 44, okay? And that's not just rhetoric or some hypothesis on my part, right? Look at these. Now, I can't draw with a darn. This is not me, I promise you, okay? I'm awful, right? That's a child. Nova Scotia. Not just America. Okay? All the time. I get one of these a month from somewhere, including out of the country. And two and a half to 3 letters a week that my wife and I struggled to try to respond to graciously and on time. Why? Not because of the 75th anniversary, but this has been going on for years, huh? Since the major release in the Blu-ray of a decade ago, right? That's pretty good evidence from children that we've never met, like hello, and all over the world, that Bambi must resonate good messages for somebody, or they wouldn't go to the trouble to find this old jerk in the middle of West Texas. I'm not even in the book. Right? With this kind of loving stuff to Disney, not to Peter or me, but to Disney. Thank you, Walter, for Bambi.
If I may, to support what Donnie's saying, I too get these letters and drawings still to this day, which I'm constantly flabbergasted by. But if you go out in the public, I guarantee you, you can ask 10 people if they've ever seen the movie, and at least 9 of them will say they have. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard to find anybody who hasn't seen the movie and hasn't been impacted by it one way or another. It's quite remarkable. I was over at Universal Studios on a ride. A couple of little kids were sitting right to the cute little girls. And I was chatting with them, and I asked them where they were from. They were from New Zealand. Huh. And I said, have you ever seen the movie Bambi? And they said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's about as far away as you can get. And so the movie has had an incredible reach and influence, I think, in a positive way on so many people.
You can go first. I was wondering if you could both just talk a little bit about the process of making the movie itself, how much contact you had with Mr. Disney, what you thought of him, and how the actual filming went, recording.
When I first met Mr. Disney, and I've been in several films as a real live actor, right? So I had some sensitivity to the studios. I wasn't naive, okay? I did not know he was the captain of the whole thing. He was a worker. He was all over the place, helping, pitching in. Very keen personality, good eye contact all the time. Okay, very friendly, and not pretentious. And he was all over the place. I did not see him doing any actual work, except one time I saw him with a bunch of pencils in his hand and a couple of guys with a big board. He must have had some paper on it, drawing. So I did not see him in heavy work. But he must have been, because his sleeves were up, and he was moving all over the place, huh? As a real leader should. Okay? Peter and I both had experiences with the voice, okay, in sound booths. And my experience was, a nice lady had these kind of images. Look at how about this child? This child's only 9 years old. Look at that. Huh? Isn't that neat? I couldn't begin to do that. It had 3x5 cards or 5x8 cards or something on a spindle, and just black and white drawings of the deer doing certain things, and of the rabbit and the little skunk, and say this, say that, say this. Okay. One of the lines I had to repeat several times, I did not do it very well, was after the mother was shot. But we hear about that all the time today, right? And you know, Bambi is looking for his mother, remember? Mother, mother, mother. Well, I didn't do that very well. The lady had to coach me to do it better. It was a wonderful experience. And I wish the Dickens, who we probably were a little bit older, we could have been better spies, okay? And we really have stories to tell you. But there was a very, what's the word? Very warm family environment, even though they did not have our children around. I had the impression that we were the first children in the studio, because they used to use adults to facsimilate the children's voices, remember? Huh? But we were the first children around. But they were very cordial, and if somebody asked me and I have a lot of experience with people who are supposed to be leaders. Okay? Keyword is supposed to be, and some are. All right? If somebody asked me in that environment, there were two or three that were real champions. Roland V. Lee, who directed several films, including Son of Frankenstein, my second film. I had a great time in that one, by the way, with Boris Karloff. He was a riot. He was a riot. We have a picture, a photograph of Boris Karloff in full costume, and me sitting on his knee with Basil Rathbone there, and he's laughing at a corny joke I just stole from somebody. See Boris Karloff in full costume. That was pretty, pretty funny. But the environment was very, what's the word, pompous in many of the studios, okay? Disney was not pompous, and his workers were not pompous. It was a very warm, keen adventure for all of us.
I know you didn't work so much with Walt, you said earlier, but you did have a lot of experience working with the animators. I think Dave Hand, who was the supervising director, and Frank and Ollie, and Milt Call, who was in the Nine Old Men. Do you have any memories of them directing you or working with you?
I wish I could say yes, but I really don't. I certainly remember being in the animation studio and seeing some drawing and talking with these nice men, but at four, a four-year-old's impression of adults is pretty blasé, I think. It's really hard to relate to the personalities and of older people at that age, unless they're your grandmother or father bouncing you on their knee or something. Mm-hmm. But my whole experience at Disney was every time I came back. I think Donnie spent a little more time in the studio than I did, but the recordings were done periodically every 4 or 5 months over a period of 2 years, and that gave time for the animators to get some drawing together and start getting the feel of the characters that they were creating from the voices that were given to them. And then we, do a next series of voices, and they kept going. The thing that I found fascinating, because I've always had sort of an engineering bent as I've gotten older, and I guess it started then in the sound booth, which there was a sound director, a voice director, because of four I wasn't that capable of reading, and the director would say the lines, and I would mimic them and say them back with the right inflection. So that's how that part was done. But the part that really fascinated me was over in the corner here. There was a recording device. No tapes in those days, and none of the technology that we have today, which is so incredible. But the recording was done on discs that were probably 20 inches in diameter and must have been some sort of plastic, because I think the technology had gone beyond wax, which it really was. The tubes that they had on the original Edison recording devices were coated with wax. Well, this, had the arm and the needle that was like a little chisel, and as the voice caused the little vibrations, it created the vibrations of the voice on it. That was the most fascinating thing to me at the time. So that's sort of what went on in the recording booth.
I'm sure we have those transcription records somewhere. I'll have to look for
them. I'll bet you do.
I'm sure they're tucked away safely somewhere, I'm sure. So we'll look into that.
If anybody knows where they are or can find them, it'll be you.
Very good.
So having you working in this movie was a sort of, what's it, luckiness, like suerte?
Luck.
Because you were from a family from Disney, or because... Well, nowadays they choose children because they are artists or because they have big names in the industry. But in that time when you were working with the movie, Why were you chosen for this, to work for this movie?
Well, the reason I got involved was my father being in the industry as a writer. He knew what was going on. He knew Walt, and he brought me over to the auditions. Mm-hmm. And
you auditioned for Bambi.
For Bambi, right? Yeah, not for Thumper. There were, I didn't have the right voice for that, but Donnie obviously did because he got the job. So then later, as I understand it, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Becky, but the animators were listening once again to all the voices from the voice auditions, and although I think you said that you thought it happened right at the audition, is that right?
Yeah,
Anyway, they said, then you can go, they said, you know, that kid would be great for the rabbit.
Yeah.
And then, as I understand it, there were no auditions, they just picked me.
Yeah, in the original book, there were multiple rabbits. There was, I think, six or so, like they had in Snow White, they had a group of rabbits.
Yeah.
And I think somewhere during the story development phase, they decided to make it one little boy rabbit and some girl sisters. And they wanted that little boy to be a very unique character. And they remembered Peter's reading and his voice, and they thought, oh, he'd be perfect. So they just called him and said, come do it. So he was the only one who got to try.
Perfect in spades, okay? I have been able to get away with using this wonderful man's portrayal of Thumper. That's why they call me Thumper, right? For children in schools and as a volunteer, okay? In schools and environments and Red Cross and Salvation Army children at Christmas, huh? In real hard scrabble life environments, right? I've been able, without his permission, he's probably going to beat me up on this, right? To steal his stuff and use it with children and have a great time. Huh? I know you must remember this. Or if you don't, look at you. I bet you don't remember. If you can't say something what?
Nice. Right?
If you can't say something nice, what?
Don't
say
anything
at all. Huh? Right?
There you go.
That resonates with children today like you cannot believe, particularly in orphanages, right? Where they're very vulnerable to bullies and things, right? It really resonates well with them. My experience on your question was, I don't remember audition, because I wasn't for the voice. Yeah? This is the copy, original copy. I want to be checked this. I'll pass this around. May 1940. Okay?
Are you?
Yeah, that's me, all that crazy hair. Twice a day they curl that mother. Terrible. And with stuff, it smelled bad. Anyway, the thing I remember reasonably well is that Mr. Disney wanted the eyes. My eyes are very large here, and I've been in several films, and you know, looking like a crazy kid, right? Wanted the eyes for the deer expression, because I remember being asked when we did just the initial drawings, okay, look left, look right, look afraid, huh? Real short fun thing with you, if you have children and grandchildren, pick up on this. Early in the film, Bambi does something silly, right? And he's in a thicket. Remember the thicket with the water, and he's in there like this, feeling sorry for himself. Remember that one? Huh? And here comes Feline, right? At that age, you don't want to be kissed, right? A little bit later, that changes, huh? But right now, he's at that age, no kiss me, huh? And she sticks her head through the thicket, goes like this, and he goes, remember? I can remember somebody saying, look like something terrible has happened to you. I'm having the time of my life. So I tried to make a bad face. That didn't work. And some guy said, have you had a bad medicine or bad, you know, something? She didn't like bad food or something? And I remember castor oil. We used to have castor oil. Ooh, that was made by, you know, bad guys, right? So the guy said, an artist said, pretend like you just had a lot of castor oil. And I'd had some about a month before. And I went, ooh. And he said, hold it. So when I have a chance to raise some money for something or with children, I tell my little story a little different than I'm telling you, Rob. The smiles, right? We call that the castor oil kiss scene now.
Any other questions? We've got time for one more.
What does it feel like to be a part of Disney history? It's like children around the world, parents pass it down. It just keeps going for generations and generations. It'll be passed down forever, and it's a part of your legacy. What is it like to be a part of that?
Well, as Donnie said earlier, he didn't mention or tell his friends or whatever about his involvement in the movie, and I was the same way. It was many, many years in adulthood before we would do that. And I've gotten a little easier about it over the years, and occasionally, as I said to the little girls next to me from New Zealand, you know, have you seen the movie Bambi? And I find that in the right circumstance, even with adults, you know, I might ask that question, and then I say, well, I was voice of Thumper, and it brings them some pleasure, joy in that moment, just to know that they've seen somebody who did something cool a long time ago. and that's the reason I do it, not for the personal glory or gratification, just to try and bring a smile to somebody's face. And I don't do it very often, but I do it occasionally. So
I had a chance two and a half weeks ago, have 200 fourth and fifth graders in a gymnasium. No, there wasn't chairs. I was sitting on the floor in formation on posts in gymnasium. I had been invited. I don't recruit myself, and I've been invited. One little girl who had a recent transfer into this school that caters very well to children who want to advance themselves. They don't use the word gifted, okay? But it is an advanced school, okay? Fourth and fifth graders. And one little girl who had been transferred in recently said in front of all the students, with a little Q&A thing, huh? We should have Bambi at my school. And I'm dumb done again, all right? Oh, why? Because he beats up the bullies. Beats up the bullies, huh? Now think about that for a second. Who are the bullies in Bambi? The dogs, right? Trying to get Feline on the plateau, huh? And then that rascal tried to kidnap Feline, right? Somebody tried to kidnap my wife. She's going to find out I still box. Bang! Big time quick. So think about that. That little girl picked up on that scene because she had witnessed bullies, and Bambi would help with the bullies.
I don't know if it's mind-blowing to you, but at least it is kind of to me. You will forever be immortalized as long as the history of man continues and technology keeps getting better and better and this movie keeps being remastered and preserved. How does that even feel as mere humans?
Well, speaking for me, and I'm sure Donnie feels the same way, I think as the years go on, and it becomes longer and longer, it's 75 years now, I personally, as I say, I'm sure Donnie would agree, I feel very honored to have been a part of a legacy that has lasted so long and, as you say, clearly will continue. I can't foresee any possibility of the movie not being continued to be produced and shown to new generations as the years go on. It's just too special. And we had a little bit of contribution to that. I think the animation and the artists involved were incredible. And I think the fact that we helped fill that picture makes us feel really, really good, and I'm sure it will continue.
And Peter and I, when we were in the forest, we ate some special greens in there, you know. Huh? Otherwise, we would still be cooking.
That's right.
Huh? But for a little girl, age 11, in Nova Scotia, okay, to take the time to do this last month and send it to this old jerk, okay, what do you think she's going to say 5 and 10 years from now? Where's Bambi?
That's right.
Hey, Disney, when are you going to put that out again? Huh?
Believe me, we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, ladies. Woo! Thank you for being here. Thank you, guys.
Thank you,
Becky.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you.
What do you guys need?
Kids in the marsh colonies, seeing their lines.
Oh, yeah.